worktops to comic genius. But first, details of thought-provoking drama this weekend.
On BBC Radio 4.
She and her associate have a school for secretaries, an old maid's factory.
A drama about choice, dignity, and equality.
You want to get me away into a quiet country place where I should be under your eyes every moment.
For your own protection.
George Gissing's novel about a new wave of working women.
I want you for the companion of my life.
But I have my work.
I should say that our mission is not to crowd out men, but I don't care if we do.
The Odd Women, part of Radio 4's working titles season, starts on Sunday afternoon at 3 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
And now Radio 4. Will the door to the comedy world finally open for the man behind the Room Next Door videos? Jobs in jeopardy, awkward auditions and big decisions await in the series finale of Michael Spicer, Before Next Door.
Oh, hello. My name is Michael Spicer. Welcome to my show. You'll have to forgive me at the moment. I'm currently encased in a large metal dragon egg with my family. It's late 2019 and I'm on holiday at a theme park called Sir Roar's A Lot's Wildlife Adventure Park. Before the boys, holidays meant exploring the souks of Marrakesh or cruising the Mekong Delta. Now it's about apologising to a man in an aristocratic lion costume for your son regurgitating a £5 milkshake into his top hat. Anyway... the show. God's sake. The show, yes. So, my job at the kitchen worktop company hangs in the balance.
Oh, that's a bit dramatic, isn't it?
I'm setting things up for the final episode. Can you just make sure that our two sons don't fly out of this thing?
We're sealed in here like Kinder Egg toys. I think it'll be fine. I just thought perhaps you should also mention that I'm working hard as your part-time manager to keep alive your dream of a career in comedy, which, by the way, is doing very well indeed.
Not financially.
Well, not financially, no.
Anyway, I have a meeting scheduled with the restructuring consultant Connie when I get back into the office, which is causing my internal organs to rotate faster than this dragon egg. And I have also recently posted another Room Next Door sketch, the Newsnight interview with Prince Andrew. I wasn't going to do it, but the night it went out on BBC One, my notifications on Twitter went berserk. I hadn't given in to pressure like that before. It felt odd. But the upshot of it was that it was my most successful video to date. So I guess the lesson here is don't listen to your feelings. Actually, that's a terrible piece of advice. Sorry, forget I said that. Now, for legal reasons, I'm not allowed to play that sketch on Radio 4. So what I'm going to do is leave a 4-minute gap here so that you can play it to yourself on YouTube. OK, are you ready? Just search Prince Andrew Room Next Door or something like that. OK, go. Okay, I'm being told by my producer that 4 minutes of silence is not a good idea, so I'm going to play some music while you watch the video. Okay, go. I'm being told by my producer that this too is an unwise move if I want a second series. So, we're just going to cut to me and the family driving home after the holiday. Yes, okay. Yeah, thanks again. This is amazing. Okay, bye-bye. Good Lord.
So?
Yep, that was the producer of To Put It Another Way.
Oh my God. Oh, and they want you to be a guest?
Yes. Well, they want me to audition to be a guest.
Oh, amazing! Amazing! What did I say? I said you had to send them the Prince Andrew video. Oh, I knew they'd bite. I am an amazing manager.
Yes, dear, you're amazing.
Ah, so what did they say then?
Well, they said that they thought I'd be a really good fit on the show. However, To Put It Another Way is the most popular comedy panel show on TV and guest spots are highly sought after, which means I have to audition first. I'm not sure what auditioning for a panel show entails.
Ah, well, I called Lydia about that. You know, the producer from the awards night a couple of episodes ago, and she said they'll probably just play a few rounds of the game in an office with some other people just to see how you get on with it. So, essentially, you've just got to be yourself.
I've just got to be myself?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
As you know, Michael, this company has to progress if it's to survive. There are many kitchen worktop companies out there jostling for pole position, and many of them play dirty, which is ironic, given how kitchen worktops need to be so clean. Now,
of course, when Roberta suggested this, it didn't really occur to me that I would have to watch To Put It Another Way.
I've never managed a whole episode. I just don't like the hostility of it. Lots of mainly male comedians jostling for pole position, the biggest laugh, the rudest comment, the most check shirt. It's just not for me.
So therefore, to guarantee your commitment to the company and your dedication to this new phase of the business, I am going to re-interview you for your job.
So why am I doing this if it's not really suitable for me? Because it's an incredible opportunity, doofus. But do I go into the audition tomorrow morning and be myself, which will almost certainly backfire? Or should I be that panellist who cuts people off, laughs too loudly and misjudges the audience with an ill-timed sex joke?
So, what do you say?
It's a difficult one.
I guess it is. Would you like some time to think about it?
What?
I know some people see this kind of process as a chance to weigh up the options, you know, to take stock of their own careers.
No. Yes, that sounds good. Let's do it. Let's do the thing that you just said. What are we doing? Oh my God, I've not been paying any attention to this really important meeting.
Great, I'll pencil you in for tomorrow morning at 10.
Yes. No, sorry, I've booked the morning off to do... my teeth. To do my teeth. For someone else to do my teeth. For a dentist to do my... A dental appointment. Can we do the afternoon?
Okay, afternoon it is. Let's say 2. I look forward to re-interviewing you.
Yes. What? I mean, yes. Great. Looking forward to it too. And cut back to me at home saying I'm not looking forward to it at all. I am not looking forward to it at all. I mean, how demeaning. Being interviewed for a job I've held for 9.5 years.
I know, but it has to be done. The important thing is to focus on the audition first. If you nail that, it could pave the way for other panel shows, like Task Enforcer, Would I Fib to You, Never Mind the Music, For You Have I Got the News, and The Weak Mocking Show. Is it really necessary to live in this parallel world of comedy shows?
According to the BBC's lawyers, yes it is.
You spoke to a BBC lawyer?
Yes, and most of the time he was just pitching ideas to me.
OK. What about this? The ironic detective.
The ironic detective?
Yes. He's a detective who only solves ironic murders.
What do you mean?
Episode 1.
Oh, you've written it.
The ironic detective is called to a secluded house in the country after a man is bludgeoned to death with one of those wooden relax signs that you get in B&Q.
Oh, by the way, I went to see my boss Leo today to ask him to bring Alexandra back into the company.
Oh, I see. I guess this is because of last week's drunken reconciliation, is it?
Yep. And here's the thing. He said it was out of his hands now because he was leaving the company at the end of the month himself.
Oh, well, that is interesting. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to reach out to the new boss as soon as possible.
Yes, but you can't reinstate an ex-employee just because you like her. You need to go through the proper channels, have a formal interview process.
Michael, it's only a subplot. Give me a break.
Oh, fair enough.
First time at the BBC?
No, I've been here before. I was once in the audience for Going Live with Philip Schofield and Sarah Green.
What was that like?
They gave me a goodie bag with a 3D Viewmaster in it, and I got to meet Morrissey.
So, up and down then?
Yes.
Michael Spicer, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Natalie Duke, by the way.
I know who you are. Didn't I see you last week on For You Have I Got the News?
Well, if you like.
Do you think we'll be auditioning together?
Oh, yeah, I think so. They can only keep the audience in there for about an hour, maximum. Otherwise, the energy drops.
The audience? In where?
In there.
In there? I thought that was just an audition room.
Well, it is, but they've got about 50 people in there to watch us play the game.
50 people? Who are they? Where did they come from?
Just fans of the show they found through comedy chat forums.
Are you saying there's an audience of comedy chat forum users on the other side of that door?
Or men, as I like to call them.
Oh, my flip.
I know, you'll be fine. You'll thrive on it, I'm sure.
I think you're confusing me with you. I'm not a stand-up comedian. I've never done this sort of thing before.
Have you ever stood up in front of an audience?
Well, Morrissey made me stand up in front of the Going Live audience after he caught me looking at my 3D Viewmaster during a performance of Some Girls Are Bigger Than Others.
Right, well, that's a start.
At least I think that was the song. It could be that joke isn't funny anymore.
No, it's very funny. I wouldn't use it in there, though.
No, I mean...
Oh, here we go. Good luck.
Oh, my flip.
Okay, round 2. Natalie and Katie and Michael and Steve. I want you to guess which news story this is just by the anagrams I'm making from the keywords in the story.
Is there any chance we could mix the teams up a bit?
Why is that, Steve?
Well, no offence, but in the last round, Michael was about as effective as a hammer made of crisps.
Sorry, Steve. I'll do better in this round.
Well, make sure you do, you know. Otherwise, I'm going to pull that lever in the corner. The one that says, in case of emergency, release Josh Widdicombe.
Oh, is that what it says? I thought it was... Yeah.
Right, well, here we go. Fingers on buzzers. First news story, for 1 point, what are these words the anagrams of? And for 2 points, to what news story are they referring? Insteep, pincer, sewn, thing. Yes, Steve Kisby.
Epstein, Prince, Newsnight. It's the Prince Andrew interview.
Correct, 2 points. Did you watch the interview, Steve?
Yeah, I did. And he was so nervous, wasn't he?
He was, Steve. He looked just like you when I told you that I'd kept all of your old DMs.
Yeah, no. I just thought it was interesting how he said Jeffrey Epstein's house was a convenient place to stay. I mean, how convenient does a convicted paedophile's place have to be for you to decide that it's a better option than, say, the Holiday Inn, which has excellent room service and isn't owned by a sex offender? Am I right?
I don't understand. How did you get those answers so quickly?
I rearranged the letters of the words to spell out other words. They're called anagrams, Michael. You ever watched this show before?
Yeah, no, of course I have.
I haven't.
It's just, well, I'm just not as fast as you. And maybe it's because I don't really follow the news and I'm not very good at word games.
Oh, but apart from that, you're ideally suited to this word game-based news quiz.
Fair point. Perhaps it's fine.
I thought the Evening Standard said you were the new voice of political satire.
Yeah, that was an accident.
Yeah, wasn't the only accident, mate.
You don't need to wait around reception just to return your pass. You put it in this box here, mate.
Oh, right. Thank you, Steve. You did very well in there, by the way. Sorry if I cramped your style a bit.
Well, yeah, got laughs. That's all that matters, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I mean, if I'm totally honest, I'm not really comfortable in that kind of environment. So.
Yeah, that's because you're not a stand-up. You're a... I don't know what to call you. An online comedian, social media celebrity? I don't really know.
No, I've not fully worked it out myself either.
See, panel shows, like to put it another way, are geared towards the stand-up comedian. People who know how to work a room, you know? No offence, but if you don't have the experience of the comedy circuit, you're going to struggle in there, pal.
Yes, you're probably right. Don't call me pal.
You know, Michael, it's just a shame, really, because I know some great stand-ups who would have killed for an audition today. But a lot of these spots are now being given over to people like you and make sketches on YouTube in their living rooms and then shrivel up in front of a live audience like a little dried apricot. No offence.
The more he says no offence, the more I suspect a certain degree of offence is in attendance.
It's just sad seeing friends of mine who've toiled for years on a circuit. They don't get a chance to show what they can do.
Well, that's hardly my fault, is it?
No, it's not. It's the producer's fault. I mean, between YouTubers like you and all the mandatory box ticking that goes on now, I'll be surprised if we see any white male stand-ups on television in a few years' time.
Oh, there it is. Didn't take long, and I'm off. Yes. OK, right, well, I better go. Nice to meet you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Be lucky.
That was unsavoury in so many ways I lost count. It was just layer upon layer of distastefulness like a prawn sandwich.
Hello again.
Oh, Natalie, hello. Listen, sorry if I made things difficult in there.
No, you didn't do that at all. Only Steve Kisby did that with his incessant alpha noise. He's a bully.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, well, you should. He was a compere at the Cascade Comedy Club in Manchester, and for years he denied me a spot because I wouldn't go on a date with him.
Really? That's awful.
I tried to let him down gently, you know, telling him that it was impossible because just the sight of him made me physically sick, that sort of thing, but he wouldn't back down.
How has he got an audition today?
Because it doesn't matter. It never does with men like him. And yet the weird thing is, he thinks he's the endangered species. He writes articles in national newspapers about how his voice isn't being heard. And then his fans leave comments underneath saying, I hear you, Steve. My voice isn't being heard either. And he replies with, I hear you, brother. And soon it becomes this infinite circle of replies about how they can hear each other, saying they can't hear one another.
Well, if it's any consolation, I thought you did really well today. And I think you've got a very good chance. I mean, you're a great stand-up.
Thank you. I think you could be too, if you gave it a chance.
Oh, I don't think so. The biggest laugh I got was when I accidentally called Angela Merkel Merkier Ankle.
Seriously, I think you should consider it. Don't let what happened with Steve dent your confidence. If you can turn Room Next Door Man into a viable live show that you can tour the UK with, you'd be laughing.
Hmm. It's not something I've ever really thought about.
Well, if you did, you'd be able to quit that job of yours.
I would.
Yeah. Oh, this is me. I'll text you the contact details of promoters I know.
Wow. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, by the way, what's a 3D Viewmaster?
Oh, right, you're young. You know when your parents gave you your first phone and you realised that in that moment you had access to all human knowledge, culture and experience?
Yeah.
Well, I had a little red machine that could let you see 12 photographs of zoo animals in 3D.
Awesome.
So, you're not overconfident?
No.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't as bad as you're making out.
If I'd have been attacked by a swarm of bees, the audience would have cheered on the bees. A, because I was doing so terribly, and B, because, well, everyone likes to see a healthy bee these days, don't they?
OK, well, let's park that for now. Tell me how the one-to-one with Connie went this afternoon.
Oh, is there any chance I could have a mouthful of my dinner before I explain how badly that went too?
Oh, no, I'd rather you didn't. I can't bear it when actors deliver their lines with food in their mouths. So gross.
OK, well, why don't you just go back to this afternoon and watch me with Connie? Then I can eat my dinner by myself as grossly as I want.
Go back? You mean like the ghost of Christmas past?
Oh, precisely.
Oh, please, that's so disgusting.
So, what qualities do you think you could bring to the role?
Well, probably the qualities that have kept me in the role for 9.5 years already.
Oh, no.
Yes, well, let's try and assume the role of someone who hasn't been in the job for 9.5 okay, years, shall we?
That means being someone else, really, doesn't it?
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm quite happy to be someone else. I mean, who would you like me to be? Oscar Isaac? Frankie Howard?
Oh, please stop trying to be funny.
I'm detecting some passive aggression from you, Michael. Would that be fair to say?
No, I was just trying to be funny. Sorry. My wife always tells me I should stop trying to be funny in awkward situations.
So you feel this is an awkward situation? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I'm not sure I can watch much more of this.
Well, no, not at all. It's just, I know my job inside out. I don't know what this process is supposed to prove, you know, unless it's all just a cosmetic exercise.
A cosmetic exercise?
Not on your part, on the company's part.
You believe they've brought me in to do something they were always going to do anyway, which was to have you removed.
But deny that.
I didn't say that.
Good.
No, but you're suggesting it.
Deny that too.
Yes, I suppose I am.
Oh, for...
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
It sounded like a beep used to censor a swear word.
Oh, you mean like...
There's no need for that kind of language.
I'm sorry. Dear Michael, thank you so much for coming in to audition for To Put It Another Way. I'm sorry to say, okay, fine. I don't mind. It wasn't for me. I can't be in that toxic world of chuntering Steve Kisbys anyway, lightly bullying me between rounds of idiomatic wordplay. I'm a comedian, I'm not a gladiatorial alpha panellist. You may have noticed that Josephine is in a good mood at the moment, hence the radio, the humming, and the rhythmic stapling. This is because she's just been in to see Adam, our managing director. Her job is safe. I'm next in. Hello?
Michael, it's Natalie Duke.
Oh, Natalie, hello. Have you heard anything?
Sorry for calling you randomly like this, but I just thought you might like to know that Steve Kisby didn't get a guest spot on the show.
Oh, good.
And I did.
Even better. Well done. I'm so pleased for you.
Thank you. How about you? Have they let you know yet?
Yes, that would be a no. It turns out that palpable studio audience hostility was not the route they wished to go down.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe that show's not for you. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't give stand-up a try.
Really?
You've already got a fan base. Just put the tickets on sale and they'll be snapped up. You're in an enviable position of not having to spend years toiling on the comedy circuit like I did.
Oh, well, I've toiled too. Remember, I'm older than the internet. I used to record my sketches on VHS tapes and post them in jiffy bags to people working in comedy departments who were always called Dan and who never actually watched the videos but appreciated the effort I put in. All the best. Warm regards. Please don't send any more tapes. Thanks, Dan. That's toil.
Well, anyway, all I'm saying is you should give it a go because you make me laugh. But then so does my dog when he sneezes, so maybe I'm not the best judge. Also, things aren't as bad as they once were. The Steve Kisbys of the comedy world don't rule the roost like they used to. Things are getting better, just very, very slowly. I like to think of it in terms of my dad trying to find the perfect spot in a Sainsbury's car park. It's taking a long time, perhaps longer than anything else has ever taken in history, but we'll get there eventually.
I appreciate that, Natalie. Best of luck with the show.
Thanks, Michael. Take care.
Bye.
And now the most passive-aggressive thing anyone can say in an office.
Do you mind if I change the station?
What's wrong with Radio 2?
Nothing, but it's my dentist's radio station. Every time I hear Jeremy Vine, I feel like sitting up and rinsing out.
Hello? Yes, I'll send him in. Adam would like to see you now.
Ah, Fabo. Right, well, see you in a bit, or never again. One of the two.
Michael, for what it's worth, you're a good worker, and I hope they don't let you go.
Thank you, Josephine.
Michael, thank you for coming.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Great start. Oh, who cares? I'm being made redundant anyway. It wouldn't really matter if I'd burst a paper bag of offal in his face right now.
This won't take very long. So, I read Connie's report after her interview with you yesterday.
Here it comes.
And we have both come to the conclusion that the role of copywriter should be discontinued.
And there I go.
Now, unfortunately, this means that your role no longer exists at the company.
Thank you for the clarification, Adam. That'll save me getting Poirot in here.
However, the development of the business means there is now a new role at the company, that of communications strategist.
What?
Our aim is that this will encompass a lot of the copywriting duties that already exist. So, with that in mind, I would like to formally offer you the role of communications strategist.
Oh, my flip. Wow. Really?
The details will be written up in due course, but I can tell you now that it will mean a £20,000 pay increase and a company car.
Pipe me full of icing. Wow.
So, what do you say?
What do I say?
What did you say?
Well, I said I need to think about it, but I'm thinking, yes.
Really?
Yes. After the audition yesterday, I'm just still completely at a loss as to whether I'm the right fit for that world. It's also vague and ethereal. The promotion feels solid, you know, like a big concrete block of certainty sat right there in the centre of my life, firm, resolute, with a sexy company car parked right next to it.
Concrete blocks are ugly, Michael.
But they're so reliable. Am I detecting a little hesitancy
from you? No, you have to do what makes sense, and right now that makes sense. It's just, I don't want to see you throw away all the progress you've made.
I won't. I'll never do that. What progress?
Don't be flippant. You're a name now.
Yes, I know, but I still don't know what that means.
No, neither do I, but it definitely means something. And because of that, I've made a decision of my own.
What?
I think Natalie's onto something. I think you should write a live show, and I think you should tour with it. And I want to be your full-time manager, sort of immediately.
What? Oh, don't tell me you've had it in your notice.
No, but I'm thinking about it. And I want to put Alexandra in touch with the new boss to see what can be done about her taking my current position.
What? Hold on. You can't do that.
It's my decision.
No, you want to be my manager, so it's my decision.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise this series was set in 1852.
How have you somehow turned this around to be about you? I wanted you to be happy about the promotion, about my company car.
Will you stop going on about the company car as if it's some kind of burning holy grail missing from the fabric of your identity? It's probably only a Vauxhall Corsa or something.
Well, you're wrong, actually. It's a Skoda Octavia.
Oh, who cares? You wouldn't know a Skoda Octavia from a wheelbarrow full of Satsumas.
You need contacts to be a manager. You need experience. You can't just quit your job because you know how to butter up Melvin Bragg at a book launch.
I don't want to do my job anymore, Michael. Just like you don't want to do yours.
Roberta, I can't make you a full-time manager if I'm going to accept this promotion. It won't make any sense. And I'm afraid the cold hard truth of it is we have to carry on in the jobs that don't excite us anymore, because if we don't, we'll lose our home.
So please, let's just carry on the way we've been going and see what 2020 brings, okay?
No.
See you.
Where are you going? Roberta? Roberta, can you pay for our lunch? I left my wallet in the office. Roberta! What's going on? What's happening? Hello? Roberta? Anyone? What is happening? Where am I?
Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, Peter. You haven't seen my radio series anywhere, have you?
Yes, I just saw your wife with it.
What was she doing with it?
It's hard to say, but I think she was taking it in a different direction thematically.
She can't do that.
I think she wants to give the series a more upbeat ending.
By writing me out of my own show?
Yes. And by writing you out of existence, by the looks of it.
What am I going to do? I can't just sit here indefinitely not existing.
Don't worry. You'll get used to it. It's actually quite comforting. Like wearing a nice pair of slippers.
Well, you can keep your metaphysical moccasins, Peter. I'm going to get my series back. Excuse me. The nominees for Best Male
Performance. Oh, my God! Beautiful. You really do make love.
You need to project. Can't hear you.
Turn to us.
Stop it!
Roberta?
Oh, hello, dear. Take a seat. I'll order us some martinis.
Why are we on a private jet?
Oh, I don't know. I just always wanted to fly on a private jet. And, you know, seeing as I can write literally anything I want.
And this is your idea of an emotionally satisfying ending, is it? Martinis on a flashy plane? Not exactly the railway children. And aren't private jets notoriously environmentally unfriendly?
Ah, not this one. This private jet is fuelled solely by the self-righteous fury of Steve Kisby. The United Nations Convention on Climate Change predict that by 2050, most private jets will be powered by middle-aged male indignation.
Look, can we just agree that we will never, ever stop trying to do the things we love, but for now, we should stay in the jobs we don't love?
Only if you agree to do one live show to see how you get on.
Fine.
Good. It'll be at the Marlow Theatre, Canterbury, on February 13th, and you've already sold out, so you better get cracking.
Fine. What?
And if that goes well, I've got a tour planned for you too.
What?
Trust me, 2020 is going to be your year. What's that?
Well, it sounds like the plane is losing altitude at a disconcertingly alarming rate. You should talk to the pilot.
Oh.
You forgot to write a pilot into this scene, didn't you?
Yeah.
You created a drinks waiter, but forgot about a pilot.
Oh, I did, yes.
Right, come on then.
Oh, what are we doing?
We'll have to jump. It looks like we're crossing some ocean or other, so come on.
Well, can I finish my martini?
No, go on, chop chop.
Well, at least this is more of an exciting ending than you were planning.
Yes, well done. If we don't die, you can help me write the second series. Now go.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Oh, Michael Spicer before Next Door was written by and starred Michael Spicer with Ellie Taylor, Joanna Neary, Susan Wokoma, Kyle Smith-Bino, Greg Johnson, Tara Flynn and Peter Curran. It was produced by Matt Tiller and was a Starstruck Media production for BBC Radio 4.